Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Tragedy and Hope 21, The Illusion of Justice, Freedom, and Democracy, by Joseph Plummer, is a critical, politically oriented work that challenges mainstream narratives about modern history, governance, and economic power. Built as an accessible companion to historian Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, the book aims to help general readers grasp how institutions, financial systems, and elite networks can shape public policy beyond the reach of voters. Plummer focuses on the gap between civic ideals and real-world outcomes, arguing that many citizens are encouraged to treat elections, courts, and media as guardians of freedom, while the underlying machinery of influence operates elsewhere. The tone is provocative and skeptical, pressing readers to question assumptions about left versus right politics, and to look instead at incentives, funding, and control of money and credit. Whether one agrees with its conclusions or not, the book is designed to sharpen political literacy and to reframe familiar events through the lens of power. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reframing democracy as managed consent. A central theme is the idea that democracy can function less as rule by the people and more as a system that manages public consent. The book emphasizes how citizens may be offered highly visible choices, parties, personalities, and campaign slogans, while the deeper policy boundaries remain stable. This framing encourages readers to look beyond election cycles and ask who sets the long-term agenda, who funds the institutions that produce policy expertise, and which interests benefit, regardless of which party wins. Plummer pushes the reader to examine the architecture of modern states' bureaucracies, regulatory bodies, central banking arrangements, and international coordination. In this view, public debate can be steered toward cultural flashpoints or partisan rivalries that generate heat but little structural change. The practical takeaway is a method of analysis track outcomes over time, compare campaign promises with legislative and monetary realities, and identify recurring beneficiaries. The book also invites skepticism toward simplistic narratives of progress or reform, suggesting that many reforms are absorbed into a system that preserves core power relationships. The result is a lens that treats democratic ritual as real but incomplete, and that urges readers to measure freedom by institutional constraints rather than by civic symbolism. Secondly, the power of money, banking, and credit creation. Another major topic is the influence of monetary systems on politics, war, and domestic policy. Plummer highlights how control over money and credit can shape societies more decisively than the public usually recognizes. Rather than treating economics as a separate domain, the book links financial structures to state capacity, corporate power, and the limits placed on elected officials. Readers are encouraged to consider how central banking, government debt, and financial intermediation can create incentives that favor large institutions and well-connected actors. This emphasis aligns with a broader argument that policy debates often focus on taxation or spending, while ignoring the mechanics of currency issuance, interest, and credit allocation. The book frames these mechanics as a hidden lever that can amplify inequality, socialize losses during crises, and channel resources into favored sectors. It also urges attention to the language used to describe finance, noting that technical jargon can discourage scrutiny and make controversial policies appear inevitable. By foregrounding money and credit, the book offers a way to interpret recurring patterns such as boom-bust cycles, bailouts, and the persistent growth of public and private debt. The reader is left with an investigative mindset: follow the money, follow the credit, and ask which institutions gain structural advantage from the rules of the game. Thirdly, justice systems and the gap between law and fairness. Plummer also explores the idea that legal systems can project an image of impartial justice while operating in ways that protect entrenched interests. The book encourages readers to separate the concept of law from the concept of fairness, noting that law is often a product of political bargaining, lobbying, and institutional inertia. From this perspective, courts and regulatory frameworks may enforce rules consistently while still producing outcomes that feel unjust, especially when access to high-quality representation, expert testimony, and time-consuming appeals is unequal. The book underscores how legal complexity can itself become a barrier, making compliance and navigation easier for large organizations than for ordinary citizens. It also highlights the role of selective enforcement and prosecutorial discretion, which can magnify disparities even when the written law appears neutral. Another angle is how emergency powers, national security claims, and administrative rulemaking can expand state authority with limited public oversight. The broader message is not simply cynicism but diagnostic clarity: if justice is measured by outcomes, transparency, and equal treatment, then the performance of institutions must be evaluated with evidence rather than civic faith. The topic equips readers to analyze real cases by asking who wrote the rules, who can afford to challenge them, and how remedies are distributed when harm occurs. Fourthly, education, media, and narrative control. A recurring argument is that public understanding of history and current events is shaped by narrative filters. Plummer points to the combined influence of schooling, credentialed expertise, major media, and cultural storytelling in setting the boundaries of acceptable debate. The book proposes that many people inherit a ready-made picture of how society works, complete with heroes, villains, and simplified timelines, and that this picture can obscure the role of institutions, networks, and financial incentives. Readers are urged to treat information ecosystems as contested terrain where framing matters what is emphasized, what is omitted, and which explanations are treated as respectable. The book highlights how repetition can create perceived truth, how headlines can substitute for deep analysis, and how partisan media can polarize audiences while still leaving core structures unexamined. It also advocates a more investigative reading habit, including cross-checking sources, following original documents when possible, and comparing coverage across outlets with different incentives. This topic is especially relevant in an era of rapid information flow, where emotional triggers can travel faster than context. The practical benefit is a toolkit for intellectual self-defense, recognize persuasion techniques, distinguish evidence from interpretation, and maintain curiosity about uncomfortable data. The book aims to make readers less governable through confusion and more capable of forming independent judgments. Lastly, a systems view of history and power networks. The book promotes a systems-based approach to history, treating major events as outcomes of interacting institutions rather than as isolated episodes. Plummer encourages readers to think in terms of networks, financial, political, corporate, academic, and philanthropic connections that can coordinate influence without requiring a single central command. This approach shifts attention away from purely personality-driven accounts of history and towards structural incentives, policy continuity, and the revolving door between sectors. By using a broad historical frame, the book invites the reader to see patterns such as recurring calls for reform followed by partial change, recurring crises followed by expanded institutional authority, and recurring rhetoric of freedom paired with growth in surveillance or centralization. The topic also stresses that power can be exercised through rulemaking, agenda setting, and funding priorities, not only through overt coercion. Readers are encouraged to map relationships, identify gatekeepers, and examine how think tanks, foundations, and advisory bodies can shape what policymakers consider realistic. The value of this system's view is that it can explain why certain outcomes persist across decades, even when public opinion shifts. It offers a research agenda, examine institutional histories, trace personnel and funding links, and test hypotheses against long-term data rather than against short-term news cycles. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who enjoy political economy, alternative history perspectives, and critical examinations of institutions, especially those who feel that conventional civics explanations do not match lived experience. It can benefit a reader's life by strengthening analytical habits, asking better questions, tracking incentives and beneficiaries, and distinguishing political theater from structural power. Even readers who disagree with the author's interpretation can gain value by using the framework as a stress test for their own beliefs. Improving media literacy and encouraging deeper research into money, policy formation, and institutional continuity. Compared with similar books that rely mainly on outrage or partisan talking points, Tragedy and Hope 101 is positioned as a bridge between a dense historical thesis and everyday political understanding. It aims to translate big-picture claims into a more approachable narrative that highlights mechanisms such as finance, bureaucracy, and agenda setting. The book's worth lies in its organizing lens. It offers a coherent way to connect elections, law, media, and economics into a single model of how power can operate. For readers seeking a structured prompt to investigate sources, follow institutional links, and think in systems, it provides a focused starting point that can guide further study. If you would like to support Joseph Plummer, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.